If you have a Bible, the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 21. And we're going to start again reading tonight. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading found in the Word of God. If you've enjoyed the singing, say amen tonight. I do appreciate the Lord and His goodness. And sure do need Him to help us this evening. Boy, it's just a great day to be saved, isn't it? I thank God for these young people over here tonight. Appreciate Mom and Daddy's having them at the house of God. And Matthew 21:33, hear another parable. Many times Jesus spoke in parables. There's a certain householder and he planted a vineyard. Glad God's still in the planting business. He hedged it round about. He digged a wine press in it and he built a tower. He let it out to husbandmen, and he went into a far country. Thank you for standing tonight. Father, I pray now a few minutes you'd help us to be a blessing. Thank you for what my heart's felt at your house tonight. Thank you for your children that's faithful to come. Lord, I pray you'd challenge our hearts with the Word of God tonight. I ask you to bring to my mind and my spirit the things that I've looked at and studied. Pray now you'd let me be a blessing to the people. Help us. We'll be grateful if it's one here tonight don't know you. I pray you'd draw them by your grace and mercy and compassion. You'd save them tonight. And we'll be grateful in Christ's name. Amen. We started this morning on the thought of continuing in the message of the Savior. I've found out the more that you study this book, the less that we really find out that we know. A lot of times preachers say, well, I don't have anything to preach. It's simply because they've not been looking for anything to preach. And we'll never preach this Bible out. And I think one of the greatest themes that a preacher could ever have is that of the Lord Jesus. And certainly I want to say that God is in the fruit-expecting business. He's over the vineyards. The vineyards are His. This is not your church nor my church. It's God's church. And so I'm glad that God uses His children to do things in His vineyard. Now, every king has a vineyard. And I'm glad that I'm serving tonight our King, the Lord Jesus, in His vineyard. And there are a lot of vineyards all across this country. And certainly we talked this morning about the worth of the vineyard. He's the overseer, he's the owner, and he holds his vineyard in a high value. Matter of fact, he thinks so much of his vineyard, the church, that he said in Acts 20, and simply in verse number 28, he said, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, God sent his son to pay a price for this vineyard. I realize people have paid a big price, and I'm thankful for that. You'll notice that God uses His children to operate and work in His kingdom and in His vineyard. But tonight we note the worth of it. God thinks a lot of His vineyard. It is real estate of high value. It is property like no other property. There's some 15 acres here for the glory of God. Isn't it amazing? Way back yonder, God had this little spot laid out down in Bowden, Georgia, to put in a vineyard for His honor and His glory. And so we see it is of high value. He gave a great price for the church. And then, not only it's high value, but it's different varieties. It is fruit galore. I was thinking tonight, God has a big variety of fruit. Now, isn't it amazing the fruits that God shows and shares out of just this one little vineyard here tonight? And I sure am glad that there's a great variety of fruit. We're going to notice in a little bit in one vineyard, in a parable, we see there was a fig tree. And certainly tonight, we said this morning, just reiterated a little bit about things that oftentimes preachers have said that fruit is souls. Well, not all the time. There are a lot of fruits that God wants His children to be producing. And only the fruit of the Spirit can bring those. That is love and faith and joy and long-suffering and temperance and the fruits of the Spirit. But I want to ask you tonight, what is God getting out of you in this vineyard? What is God getting out of me in this vineyard? We see the worth of His vineyard. But number two, notice in the parable, there was a wall around the vineyard. He simply said this, another parable, there was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower. Now God has a wall around His vineyard. I'm glad that He has us hedged in. Can I tell you that God expects His vineyard to be a special place? A special place. In John 15 and verse number 19, in God's vineyard at the local church, you know, He says this, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You know, don't think it's strange if the world is not in love with you if you're serving Jesus. Don't think it's strange that everybody don't applaud you for serving Jesus. Matter of fact, it would scare me a lot if I was a pastor tonight and everybody in this town was in love with me, because it would show me I was more of a politician than a preacher. I'm not talking about being ugly. I'm just simply saying there comes a time that you've got to realize that God's house is different than any other house. It's hedged in. It is a special place. And notice this. He said, "You're not of the world." He said, matter of fact, he said, "I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." It's amazing how the world really hates a Christian. I watched an editorial this evening before church on that Madeleine O'Hara, how that she was this atheist, and how she even got prayer out of the schools in America, how the devil used her, and how she didn't believe in hell. But honey, she believes in it tonight. I want to go and put that on the radio, neighbor. If she didn't get saved, she's in hell tonight. And she's a firm believer now of the old, old story. But the church, no doubt, should be this, is a special place. Thank God it's a place where we can come in and get in on His vineyard. Boy, I'm glad He's here tonight. I'm glad He is here this morning. And we see that He hedged it in. It is a special place. And then I want to say, secondly, it ought to be a separated place. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 17, I really stand on the gas pedal on this doctrine, because I believe if she ever starts leaning, it'll soon fall. I'm not preaching an ugly gospel. I'm not preaching a hating gospel. I'm preaching only what Jesus said. "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now, I want to say something about separation tonight. As He has hedged in His vineyard, this wall of the vineyard is supposed to be a separated place. This is a dedicated place for the worship of God. It ought to be a separated place. Amen. We ought to not pour alcohol in the church. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. We ought to not smoke on the property. This is a holy place. This is a special place. People ought not come here and do their ungodly things on the property. This is a special place. When you come to the house of God, you ought to take your hat off. Somebody say amen. You ought to get your sunglasses off your head. Quit looking like a playboy out of a magazine. Somebody gonna help me preach tonight. This is a separated place that's dedicated for the honor and the glory of God. They called one time, said, "We want to use your facility for a car show." Well, we're not in the car show business. Amen. "Well, you have nice property. We can display our vehicles. Everybody can use the bath." No, the world ain't going to tear God's house down while I'm the preacher down here. Amen. And so we're not preaching a hate gospel, but certainly Jesus said, look what He said now. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Young people, you ought to dress different than the fashions of the day. Amen. You look at Hollywood's heroes and look where they wind up tonight, young ladies. Look where they're... Young men, look at Hollywood's heroes and look at their gutter life. That don't look like such a pristine lifestyle to me. Matter of fact, it would do you good to get you a Bible hero to character your life about it. Look around at some of these older godly ladies in our church and you young ladies can see how to act yourself and present yourself. Amen. You say, well, preacher, this is 2012. That's right, but this book ain't changed a lick. Matter of fact, brother, he said, I'm the Lord and I change not. Boy, I tell you, I believe we ought to love sinners, but we ought to stand against sin. Amen. I believe homosexuality is out of hell tonight. I believe same-sex marriage is of the devil. God never intended it. God meant a marriage for a man and a woman to come together, be united in harmony and live forever and produce children for the glory of God, put them in the house of God and raise them in the house of God. Well, he said, come out from among them. We ought to not be involved in their culture. It seems like isn't it amazing the way the world gets us. Now, I'm not against things. I'm just against things having us. And when we're so consumed in things, I know it takes money to live. I'm not crazy. I don't stay in a corn crib with blinders on all week. Amen. I enjoy life. I thank God for it. But let me tell you, friend, when we start doing as the world, the Lord is not pleased with that. And I want to say another thing, young lady. You can wear your dresses to the ground. Amen. And no makeup at all and still live like the devil. A long dress ain't going to get you into heaven. I'm not talking about looking like you're wearing a flyer sack. Somebody say amen tonight. But I'm also talking about dressing modest tonight. Modest. And so it is with the men. We need to watch the culture and the lifestyles that so easily take. I want to go and hit that music while we're there tonight. Come out from among them and be you separate. Amen. I don't think a tractor looks sexy myself. Amen. And an achy break your heart's not going to do much for you. But he said, sing spiritual songs and psalms, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Why, goodness, a lot of Baptist church, you can't tell them there's no difference in a nightclub. You ain't got to like it. You just got to set through it. He said, come out from among them and be you. When you come to God's house, you ought to experience the things of God. It's a separated place. Watch this, what he says now. Watch what he said. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Young preachers, you know how to get the power of God on you? Live for Him and walk with Him. And we'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Did you know in the beginning, in the infancy stage of this church, some five families started with us. Started preaching on the high chair. It's right out yonder in that chapel. You know what all five families told me them 18 years ago tonight? They said, we're tired of tradition. We want to be able to go to a place where we can worship God and serve Him and hear the truth. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. God has given you that by the grace of God. But you always remember that this is God's house and it's not the world's house. He's hedged it around. Aren't you glad God hedges us in? Not only does it keep the world from coming in, but I tell you, if you'll live real close to Him, it'll keep you from going out. You know, I'm scared of me more than any member in this church. I'm scared of me. I know what's in me. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Oh, I'm talking about saved 30 years, neighbor. I scare me. And you better scare you. And certainly, this is a the walls of the vineyard. He's hedged it. Aren't you glad we got a God that's so concerned about His vineyard, He hedges it in? I remember one time there's a witch called one of our members and said by September she would take over our building. Well, she did. And let me tell you something, God, the Holy Ghost, if we could ever pull the curtains back and just see what God has at this place, if we could just see the warfare going on and how God is protecting this place, we would be in awe. You think the devil is proud of a church preaching out of a right kind of Bible, trying to mind him, people going to the altar, souls getting saved, young'uns growing in the Lord? Boy, I thank Him for His protection tonight. He's hedged it in. And let me tell you something. We can mess it up when we kick the fence down. But if we do our part, God's always done more than His part. And He hedges it in. The worth of the vineyard and the walls of that vineyard. Now, it's a special place. It's a separated place. Look in Romans 12 and verse number 2 tonight. Romans 12, verse number 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which your reasonable service. And be not, watch here, young people, underline this in your Bible, be not conformed to this world. Don't get in their mold. You businessmen, don't do business like the world does. I realize you got to do business in the world, but don't do business like the world. Well, to tell the truth. If we owe somebody a bill, we ought to pay it. Brother Dennis, you wasn't here Wednesday night. You'd have liked this. I said the mentality of the average person in this world, their old car motor goes to knocking. They'll pour some mud or something in the engine, quiet it down, pull in down Rollins Automotive and say, what will you give me for it? I know you'd like that, amen. We ought to be honest and straightforward and fair, amen. We ought to not live to be trying to beat somebody. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't get in the world's molds or their methods, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you'll be a Christian, you don't have to put a sign around your neck. Just be a Christian. I love it when we go to Target and they check out and they put something in our sack. We go carrying it back in there and say, this wasn't on my invoice. They look at you like, man, we never seen that before. Some of y'all get home and say, man, Jesus blessed me today. No, you're a thief. Somebody say amen right there. No, you're a stinking thief. Help him, Jesus. Walls of the vineyard. A special place, a separated place, and then it is a secure place. I'm glad God sees about His vineyard. When we're not looking, God is doing things behind the scenes. Preacher, so many times I went home, I said, honey, I've struck out again. Honey, I don't even know why I even preached tonight. Nobody was listening. Let me tell you, God's doing more when we're not looking. And what we know about. There's no telling how many times God has protected this ministry that we know nothing about tonight. We know nothing about. God has saved this ministry so many times. And so we see the walls of this vineyard. He has hedged it in. It is a secure place. Look in Psalms 34 and verse number 7 this evening. I'll get right on into the meat of the message that I feel the Lord wants us to see. But in Psalms 34, and look in verse number 7, Psalms 34 and 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Christians, tonight it does pay to serve God. God's seeing about us when we're not even looking. Encampeth round about us. It is a secure place. You remember in the book of Job, chapter number 1, 6 through 10, where God reminded the devil about Job. And the devil told God, he said, I've done tried him, but I can't get to where he is because you've hedged him in. Boy, I'm glad we've got a God that hedges in His vineyard. Now, number 3 tonight, not only the worth of the vineyard, God thinks a lot of it. Matter of fact, He thinks so much of His vineyard, He gave His Son for it. Then number 2, not only the worth of it, but the walls of it. But number 3, I want to talk just a little bit tonight about the working of it. There's a lot of work goes on in a vineyard. A lot of us, you know, tonight, boy, I love grape juice. Somebody shout amen right there tonight. Before I left, I got me a good drink of grape juice. And boy, you know, we take things for granted. You know, I remember some of the kids when the drought come and we was praying for rain. I heard somebody crazy say, well, you know, if God quit sending rain, we'll just drink soft drinks. Well, you dummy, how you think soft drinks are made? Amen. When you take a drink of grape juice, there's a whole lot went into what's in that bottle. And so there's a lot of work that's involved in the vineyard. Can I tell you that God has been working in His vineyard a long time? Now, I want to tell you, let's look at something that'll help us tonight in Matthew chapter number 20. And verse number 1, I want you to look at these workers in the vineyard. And I want us to take a look at a few things that'll help us. In Matthew chapter 20, the Bible said, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. And he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them to his vineyard. He went the third hour, saw others standing idle in the marketplace, said to them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said to him, because no man's hired us. He said to them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. Watch what he done now. Watch what he says, from the last to the first. You know why? He needed to show something in their heart. Look what he showed them. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed they should have received more. In other words, them that was hired first had to stand in line, and they seen what them was hired in the 11th hour earned a penny. And he's going right down the line. And some of them sitting there saying, now, we got hired the first hour. And they've been here since the 11th hour. We've been here a lot longer than them. I know we're going to get a whole lot more than them. And Jesus has given everybody the same thing. What is Jesus giving you tonight? I can tell you what He's giving you. He's giving you what's right. And it's no reason to complain about what Jesus is giving us. Did we not agree to work in the vineyard for what He said do? Who are we to bellyache and complain? Times are hard. I went to a restaurant today. It doesn't look like no recession's going on to me. Going out. I know times is hard. Times is tough. I know a lot of you are working for half of what you done 3 years ago. But you're not by yourself. Somebody say amen right there. You say, well, God's not fair. You better be glad He ain't fair tonight. If He was, we'd all be in hell. God's good to us and He gives us what is right. Isn't that amazing? Can I tell you this? Y'all think about this. I'd have seen that little nugget jumped up in that Bible. I didn't see it still, but I seen it right there. Isn't it amazing? He didn't pay the boys that was there the longest first. He wanted to be sure that they seen what everybody got. That's the way some of y'all are. You jealous when somebody else pulls up in a new car and you ain't got one. And you say, well, I've been a serving God, and they don't deserve it. I'm going to tell you, they probably don't deserve it, but God's just doing what's right. It's always griped me for somebody to be a bellyacher. Brother David calls them chinchy. I like that word, chinchy. Amen. You'll give your money to go to the ball game, but you won't give it to the house of God for the fruit of the kingdom. You'll see somebody else pull up in nice clothes and nice things, and you get envious and you get jealous, and you say, well, I'm serving God. Maybe you got the mentality of the elder brother, honey, and you at home, but yet you're a long way off. This man up here told me something one time. Y'all folks, and put this in your Bible, I believe with all of my heart. Folks will forgive you for anything except being successful. And I can tell you why you're successful. It's not because you're the sharpest pencil in the box. It's because the God of heaven has chosen to use you in these days. And you ought to throw your little Baptist hands toward heaven and say, thank you, Jesus, for blessing me how you're blessing me. You say, Brother Ken, we don't get to go to Outback. No, but you get to go to Piggly Wiggly in the meat aisle, get you some pork chops and some pintos and some Miss B's and throw them in the oven for the glory. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout tonight. Amen. I sure wouldn't be mad because God was a blessing somebody. Matter of fact, if you'll look at the Bible, they all got blessed, but some of them thought they owed a little bit more than what they was getting. I wonder if anybody here tonight think they deserve a little more than what they getting. Oh my. I wonder if I really deserved what I got. What I'd have. I tell you what, I don't know what you got tonight, but whatever you have, you better understand one thing, God give it all to you. And He can do this and get every bit of it back. You may think you're bulletproof. You may think, honey, that you got it made, but this ain't my first rodeo. Amen? And thank God we've got what we've got. But ain't that something? I like that. I like when God shows me something. That must not do nothing for nobody else, but I like what I just seen tonight. You know what He said? He said, call them laborers. Give them their hire beginning from the last to the first. I want the first boys to realize just how good a God I am. Folks tickle me at church. I started that church. I bought them pews. Well, take them home with you. Amen. Hey, man, you're going to look funny, them things on top of your Nova wagon. Hey, man, we don't want nobody else in our little church, our little family church. Our little missionary Baptist church ain't got no missionaries. Our little missionary Baptist church, we ain't got no missionary on the hill. Boy, it'd do us good to just see how good, oh Lord, how good. Boy, that's just like our attitude, ain't it? Boy, we've served God and we've loved Him and we've labored. And looks like we can't even make ends meet. And folks come rolling up in a new car and a new suit, carrying a new coach pocketbook. Where's Miss Christie tonight? Give me that coach pocketbook, girl. My God, ain't God been good to you, girl. Give me that thing. Lord, look at our son. That even matches this outfit tonight. Amen. Thank God I got me something that's a match in it. I'm glad I pastor folk and carry coach pocketbooks, glory to God. Amen. Brother might be sure she's tithing. Amen. Some of y'all didn't like that. You just have to chew on it tomorrow. I done said it. I'm sure she is because she's toting one. Yeah, man. Some of y'all get nervous when I get on your little money, don't you? Boy, ain't it something. Oh, I'm a serving God. I can't make ends meet. And here He comes in a new suit and a new coach pocketbook. Got on a pair of new wingtips and driving a new Suburban.
Boy, that old monster of jealousy rare up in your heart and say, well, why ain't I toting a coach pocketbook? And why ain't I wearing a nice suit? Why ain't I driving a new vehicle? Honey, let me tell you, whatever we got tonight, to God be the glorified. God's give us everything we've got. And we ought to praise Him that it's good as it is good tonight, honey. I sure am glad He ain't gave me what I deserve. That crowd at that plant told me I'd be broke and I'd never have nothing. It's amazing how good God's been to this preacher. And I bless Him for it. Went out to eat Tuesday night. Got me some fried livers. That helps some of y'all. If you'd really get country, it'd help you sometime. Knock you down off that limb where you live. Eat you some good fried chicken livers. And fried squirrel on Saturday evening. That really helps some of you cityfied people. I was sitting there and family over there and the devil said, they've heard you preach, they don't like you a lick. I sort of got in my shell, and slid down talking to my wife. Guess what? The devil lied again. Fella come by and grabbed my check off the table before I could even get it. Keep on preaching, preacher. What do you think about that, devil? You remember when I walked over to Pensacola and I told him I'm going to serve God because God told me to go out and you know what you told me, devil? Look what I'm wearing tonight. And I know I'm being overhauled and broke heads by morning, but honey, I'm going to praise Him for what I got tonight. I bless you. You're a good God to me, and I bless you. I bless you that you've been so good to me. I bless you for it tonight. I bless you for everything you give my youngest and my baby. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you for how you've helped our church. I bless you for it. Some of that old crowd had to see that God loved the new crowd just as much. My God, that's good preaching down the Bowden. That's good preaching right there. Ain't you glad God don't show favorites so much? Ain't you glad He can't be bought off? But you know what He told them? You know what He told him? Look what He told him about serving Him. He said, verse 3, went out about the third hour, saw others standing out on the market, and he said to them, go ye also in the vineyard, whatsoever is right, I'll give you. God don't even have to think about doing right, because He's going to do right. Well, maybe it's just for me tonight. The working of the vineyard. We ought to have the attitude when God's blessing somebody in our church. I heard that one of our members, I told my wife, had got a promotion. I said, thank God for that. God needs people walking all through this world as being a light. Let me go and say something about this Tebow fella. I'm not a sports nut. As a matter of fact, I was going to Louisiana to preach. I didn't even know there was going to be a ball game down there where I was going. I was fixing to walk into 50,000 madhouse. God spared me. It had been bad a boy in Alabama line down preaching in Louisiana, wasn't it? On Tuesday night. But ain't it something how good that God has put people all around this world? David Letterman said, yeah. Said he can even turn water into Gatorade. Well, let me tell David Letterman something tonight. If he don't get saved by the grace of God and he dies and goes to hell, he'll wish he had some Gatorade. And you can go on and put that and do whatever you want to with it.
But I'm just about had enough of this world criticizing somebody being a Christian. Amen. Thank God for some men on the ball field that will represent the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank God for it. I'm glad He's flying the Christian banner. And the Hollywood crowd, if they don't get saved, they go into hell. You say, well, Brother Ken, what I wish he is a member at Liberty Baptist Church. Could let his pastor come to NFL game lead prayer. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Get the hacking. Ha! Ha! Hallelujah! Hon, I'm trying to get on. I got sidetracked on the coach pocketbook, I know. The worth of the vineyard, the walls of the vineyard, the working of the vineyard. What you doing for God? We spend so much time working for nothing. Don't let you work in this world take your work away from the vineyard. Because only what you're going to do for God will last. You know the story? The man had been to heaven for a while. Somebody come and asked him, what have you learned since you've been here? He said, I've learned three things. He said, what'd you learn? He said, well, I learned that what I spent, I wasted. What I saved, I left. But what I gave, I have. I want to have something when I get there. That's the working of the vineyard. The walls of the vineyard, the worth of the vineyard. But then, lastly, I'll be done tonight, the watching of the vineyard. Look in this in Luke 13. It's a very powerful passage. Luke 13. Verse number 6. We find another parable about a vineyard. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Fig tree, yeah. He came, sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? I could preach a whole sermon out of this passage. Look what he said. And he answered, and he said to him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it about and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. The watching of the vineyard. I want to say this. He expects fruit. Do you notice the mercy and the compassion in this verse? He spake this parable. A certain man planted a fig tree. In verse 7, he said to the dresser, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Find none. 3 years I've been looking at it, and I found none. Now cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering, Lord, let it alone. Just give me another year. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus is the great intercessor? And aren't you glad that He looked in about you and gave you more time? Matter of fact, He said, I've been looking for fruit 3 years and I don't find it. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground?
In other words, it's just taking up room. It's keeping sunshine from my other plant. It's taking moisture. It's taking the nutrients out of the earth that something else could be performing. I done looked 3 years. It's brought forth. Now cut it down. And our great intercessor said, Lord, give me another year. I had this thought last night studying. I called one of my preachers and I gave him a thought. I said, let me ask you something. What about, I wonder how many people that they're on their last year to see what they're going to do. Boy, that'd be a good New Year's message, wouldn't it? You've got 1 year left to bear fruit. Matter of fact, I wonder if any of us already in the, maybe we're in the midterm of the year, God's looking for fruit. Why would He be so interested in fruit? Because He's invested so. Look what He's done. Look at the nutrients that He's given. Look at how much rain and sunshine that He's sent. A lot of people sit around in the vineyard and certainly they have no honor to God. They have no credit to Jesus. No benefits to the church. How dangerous it is to be a sinner in Zion or in a dying and a withering condition. Cut it down. A lot of people, they play with God too long. God cuts it down. Can I tell you this? You'll not get saved on your own terms nor at your own time. You'll get saved when God deals with you to get saved. 3 years, one writer had a great thought, Brother Mike. He said, you know something, isn't it amazing that within he was expecting fruit the first year? And he said a lot of people sit around under the sound of the gospel and the longer they sit and don't make a decision for Christ, the harder they are to reach. I can tell you by experience as your pastor, I've seen people come sit in this church. They become gospel hard. They used to raise their hand, lost, undone, without Christ. Now they're not even moved. That scares me to death. It ought to scare you to death. That lets me know that God is looking at my life individually. God is looking at me and He's saying, Ken Bowman, I want fruit out of you. I didn't just save you to get you out of hell. I saved you to produce fruit. I sure do want to be fruitful for you. Can I tell you, I owe it to Him. I owe it to Him to be faithful to His church. Somebody say amen right there. I owe it to Him to love sinners and to be a blessing. You don't know how it does my heart good to see these young kids get around people and pray for them. That's fruit. I thank God for the missionaries out of this vineyard. That's fruit. God's looking for fruit. He wants me to be bearing fruit. He's looking at me and He's looking at you. Tonight I wonder as He comes by your pew, is He giving you one more year? I wonder, as He already said, okay? I wonder, as Jesus already interceded for you and says, you know, just give Him time. Give her time. I wonder how much more time He's going to give you. The Bible says there is a deadline on time. I don't know about you, but I sure do want to be fruitful. There's the watching of the vineyard. Just think about the cost and the labor that He's given. I'm amazed. And if it bear fruit well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I'm glad the Lord Jesus is our great intercessor.
There is no telling how many times that the Lord has interceded on our behalf that we knew nothing about it. God, just be a little more compassionate. Aren't you glad He's a God that's long-suffering? Miss Sherry, if you'd come tonight, I want you to play. I want to ask you something. When God sees you, is He seeing fruit? This has always puzzled me about preaching in church. People could sit under the gospel, never be convicted of their sin, never wonder about their eternity, and never do nothing to get saved. Just simply sit there and move out. I want to thank Him tonight for saving me. I want to thank Him for saving you. I want to thank Him for putting me in a vineyard that produces fruit. And I realize tonight that He uses you and He uses me. But really, what's He wanting out of your life? He sees us as individuals. What's He getting out of you tonight? Well, I looked at it and it didn't have nothing on it. And this is the third year. He's expecting something out of you. He's expecting something out of you. You know why? Because He hung on Calvary. And He gave His life. I ought to want to serve Him. I ought to be pleased to serve Him. And Brother Tim, whatever He blesses me with serving, I ought to be thankful for what He gives me.